All right, Carl Tepper here, sitting in for Chad Hasty. And Sandstorm Scholar's a couple of minutes late. He was with a source, and I'm going to give him a reprieve on that. And I want to tease him coming a little better than I did. Here's one of the articles. I was going to read a little bit about the LPNL bidding scandal, and we'll get into that when he gets here. But I want to do one of his better pros. If I were facing a recall election, this was already a week old. This recall has nothing to do with legalities, but everything to do with ethics and morality. We need leadership that understands that just because a legal opinion is in their favor, without ethical standing, they lose the respect and trust of the community, which leads to a breakdown in a council to move forward effectively. Recall elections are not uncommon in American politics. In fact, they are often overused. Politicians rarely change their character. A recall election is usually about buyer's remorse, the urge to treat office holders like a disappointing impulse buy from the local discount store is sometimes difficult for voters to resist. Our guess is that the councilman being recalled was the same two-bit clearance rack Yahoo when voters elected him than that he is today. Voters have a chance each quadrennial, sometimes more often, to make new choices. Good use of a vocabulary, Mr. Sandstorm Scholar. As technology and federal law has complicated and made the local local elections more expensive, the prospect of the recall election has become a less attractive alternative to living with the consequences of who we voted for. The moral to the story is that we ought to make better choices. Despite our dislike of recall elections, it doesn't mean there's not a better choice. It insults all the voters of his district to say of the councilman, that's the best they're going to get out of that district. First, because I don't know that to be true, and second, because if the councilman subject to recall really is a scoundrel, such a sentiment is most certainly wrong. Good people can be found everywhere in every council district. Amen. But if I were facing recall and had no ethics or moral compass as described above, I try to divert attention from my own shortcomings and legal problems. I threaten reevaluations of secret reports and hint at possible criminal behavior of others. I would spend almost $700 of taxpayer money mailing invitations to a meeting attended by fewer than 30 citizens, is that true, of my district less than 60 days before the election. Even though it is a self-aggrandizing pep rally, I'd call it a town hall meeting and tell attendees they were worth me spending more than $20 per person attending so they could hear me bloviate. Another good word. And when questioned, I'd lie about it and say it cost maybe a couple hundred dollars. If I had no ethic, that is. When fighting for my political life, I'd spend public money like it was my own and criticize private citizens when they spend their own money to campaign against me. I'd spend every piece of news as if I were a victim and everyone was out to get me. If I were deeply involved with a publicly owned utility, I'd stay silent about allegations of corruption there and fight behind closed doors to keep the truth from coming out. If I had accusers, I would use the power of my office to make false accusations against them rather than answer for my own unethical behavior. If I were morally bankrupt, I'd bully and intimidate staff so that they are frightened for their jobs and dare not cross me even when I violated the law. But that's what I do if I were that kind of person. But I don't live in Buffalo, in New Buffalo, Michigan, whose newspaper reported the quote at the beginning of this article, and I'm not facing a recall election. Like I said, recall elections happen everywhere. There's even one underway in Lubbock right now. And I have in front of myself the famous Sandstorm Scholar. I guess I'm going to use that name today.
Oh, is that right? You can tell him who I am, I suppose. In fact, we've already started including that on the website.
Are you? It's Scott Mann, who is one of my predecessors in the Lubbock County. He was a former chairman of the Lubbock County Republican Party. When Scott, was there one countywide Republican elected official at that time? Was it Sonny? Was Sonny the only one?
We were pretty close to that.
Well, we had Del. I mean, Delwyn Jones was a state rep. He was Republican.
Ron Gibbons had been a state rep, and he had been a Republican.
And that's right. And Larry Combes, of course, was the congressman here. But most of the county was still Democrat. And then with the help of your hard work, I'd like to thank some of mine. But really, Bill Clinton and Rush Limbaugh kind of ushered in a whole new era of, I think you had five party switchers that year, is that?
I think so. We've always had a strong party. And when I came in, the grassroots, the foundation of the party was strong. They were active. And I happened to be there at a time when I could reap the benefit of the hard work of other people.
Well, I remember we worked hard. And those of you who don't remember, it was, I think it was 94. It was Ann Richards versus George W. Bush. 92, 93, 94 is when the party, the Republican Party in Lubbock, really started to gain some advantage. And it was very interesting to see the party switchers and how they had to go about their thought processes and switching. Really, the last person left was John Monford, who was very well-liked, very famous state senator. But really, everything else fell our way, and it was years of groundwork from people like Jane Ann Stinnett, Ruth Schirmer, Mark Griffin,
Skeet Workman,
Jane Cancino, really great work. Long before I got here, I plopped onto the scene at Texas Tech in 91. I started writing a little column, and back then it was University Daily, and Scott was Republican Party chairman, and we got together and we did a newsletter together.
I put out one issue, and you called me and said you could really use some help with that. And you were right.
And it turned out I knew his brother. We used to do some cycling together. So now you're the Sandstorm Scholar. You really made a splash here in Lubbock, dealing with the local politics, which I felt was needed. A really good gossip column about boards and commissions, city council, some of the county commissioners' court, and things like that, how the different entities are being run. In Austin, they have the Austin Chronicle. You came up with a better idea with no cost for printing, which is a Sandstorm Scholar, started off a Facebook page and then built a really good website that works very well. And so we just follow anything you see in Facebook and into. And plus, of course, in your background, you've got some really, really great sources that, gives you a little bit of a scoop.
Well, that's right. Sources are everything, Carl. And I've had a great deal of encouragement. Robert Pratt's been very good to me. He's, yep. He's helped get the word out. And I have good sources who are reliable, who talk with me regularly, and we treat them right.
And it's always a tricky sort of thing to you want to protect your sources, but you also want to ensure everyone, I hate to use the word fair, get a fair shake, but you want to get the real story out.
That's right. The truth is important, and being fair with the people you work with, the people you write about. And what I've discovered in this, as any experienced and well-trained journalist will tell you, a good story writes itself. You don't determine where it's going to go. The story takes you where it ought to go. And in local politics, there's been a gap that's allowed me to do that, and it's been lots of fun.
The interesting stories are local. First of all, you folks from this area, the last populated area of the continental United States, are a very special breed. Don't take yourselves for granted. And you fight a little harder, too, even locally. So it's a very sensitive thing because we know these people. This isn't us yelling about Obama or some people in Washington, D.C. These are people we live with. We bump into the grocery store. And so if you talk to Robert Pratt and now Scott Mann, it's uncomfortable for them to go out sometimes and be seen in public. You don't know if you're going to get punched. People's jobs are on the line, which is a big deal here. We're a smaller community. Some of the things we do, if I lose a job in what I'm doing, it's not that easy to go find something of the same sort and level someplace else. But the fact of the matter is the local politics is really the most interesting politics.
And it's the only politics that we can truly affect a change in. That's why local politics fascinates me. You can reach out and touch it, whether it's your police chief, your councilman, your mayor, your county commissioners. Every one of those people ought to answer the phone when you call. And you can influence change at the local level.
I always wonder, the listenership of Chad Hasty, sometimes Robert Pratt and the other shows, I get really motivated about the Barack Obama stories. And I'm always surprised and a little disappointed that we don't get half as many calls about, I don't mean to pick on him today, but he's such a character. We just have to concentrate, Victor Hernandez or Isidro Gutierrez or Glenn Robertson, who's about as interesting a mayor as you're going to find anywhere. And before that was Tom Martin, who was interesting mayor. We had Paul R. Bean as a council member. I mean, these are really interesting, controversial figures locally who you can meet. You don't have to watch Fox News. You can actually go and give these people a hard time. In Austin, I used to call these the sort of the pothole issues. These are things you can actually get done and be a hero for your neighbors. You know, you can get that pothole fixed. You can get the bouncy house for your block party without paying the fee. Maybe I should have gone there. Without paying the fee, you know, you can, and you have big, you know, multi-billion-dollar issues, multi-million at least, talking about power plants and things like that. This is Cedro Gutierrez's issue, and it's a little unfair just to pick on him. And he's welcome to see, and I'm sorry, Victor, if you're out there, feel free to call in. Victor Hernandez issue. But he is a controversial character. He's pretty typical of the type of Austin I used to have to deal with when I moved here. You know, here's a guy who just sort of, he seems to split everything he walks into. You know, but we've also had moments of admiration for Victor, where he really asked the right questions on the dais.
That's exactly right, Carl. It's one of the things that makes Victor so interesting is that he's very smart. He oftentimes with LPNL has asked exactly the right questions. So when I've needed something and called council members, it's not been unusual that Victor would ask the most insightful questions of anyone, and they would be the questions that ought to be answered. So no one is all any one thing. And as a news person said to me yesterday, Victor may think I hate him, but the fact is I don't want him to go away. He makes great news. He makes great headlines.
Yeah, this council makes great. Thank you, City Council, by the way. Please don't change. There's a lot of recalls and things, and people want to change people. I'm not sure we do. Well, look, we're looking out for the good of our community, but the fact of the matter is, you're very entertaining. And, for those of us who like to talk politics or write about politics, we sure do appreciate you. This is Carl Tepper and the Sandstorm Scholar Scott Mann sitting in for Chad Hasty, and we'll be back at the backside of this break. Carl Tepper, Scott Mann, the Sandstorm Scholar, sitting in for Chad Hasty today. And, we just had a whole segment during the break. Real quick, www.sandstormscholar.com and like Sandstorm Scholar on Facebook. Lubbock County Republican Party Facebook. Like us too. We cross post a lot as well. And, we have a Twitter feed. Micah, send that to me again. Michael Wyatt does our Facebook beyond all expectations and is doing a great job out there. During the break, Sandstorm Scholar Scott Mann and I were talking about some of the things going on in town. Now, the most immediate thing we have, and look, I know you guys are a little utilitied out, okay? And just when it dies out again, it pops up. But there's a new Sandstorm Scholar article about the bidding process for LPNL, and you know, my wife said she fell asleep when I talked about my bidding process last week for about a half an hour. But I think it's important to know that you have your bidders. You usually call them in. That's how we do it. We used to call them in and we'd interview them and see if they have the qualifications, maybe a better idea of how to do something, and make sure we're comparing apples to apples. Is that what's going on? Now, we talked about this over the break. We really don't know what the state requirements are for these bidding processes, and there might be some city requirements in addition to or instead
of. That's right, Carl. And there have been no accusations or no evidence offered of criminal behavior here. It's irregularities. What's happened with the bid process for the purchase power contract from 2019 forward is of the top five bidders, Dr. Zing, the director of public utilities or of electric utilities in Lubbock, has acknowledged that he only met with two of those, that he allowed one of them to supply him with the RFP template from which LPNL staff wrote the RFP. As Dr. Zing pointed out to me, he said, we changed that completely. He did not acknowledge that a vendor had written it, but that they had received the template from someone else. It happens that someone else is also the vendor who has been recommended by LPNL staff as the bidder who should receive the award for the power generation contract for 2019 forward. What's wrong with that, among other things, is that that particular vendor, AEG, Alpine Energy Group, has no complete, through beginning to end experience in project development and power generation. Not any, zero, as one source I talked with said. And if you look at their webpage, and the references for this are in the latest article on the Sandstorm Scholar, you'll see that that's exactly what they say. They have no experience in this. They are a building inspector, if you will, and this is how it was described to me. They're like a building inspector. They're consultants.
When they met, so he met with two of them.
Yes.
Was it a formal meeting? Did they go through the bids and discuss?
It's my understanding that they had meetings with the top five bidders. Interestingly enough,
they did or didn't?
They did. That staff did.
Okay.
Dr. Zing, the director of electric utilities, only attended two of those meetings. And one of them was with the Alpine Energy Group, AEG, and they are the bidder who has been recommended to be awarded this bid. It's interesting also, and this happened almost a year ago, 6 months before the RFP was issued, Dr. Zing, at the invitation of General Electric, took a trip to Florida. And there he looked at power generation units and all of the things that are necessary to look at before you do this kind of thing. And AEG was on that trip with him. Now, Dr. Zing said to me, I couldn't control who else was invited, and I have lots of contacts with other vendors. But this thing smells bad from beginning to end, and this particular company has a track record of things starting that never finish.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that last line. What do you mean they have a record? Are there lawsuits or is there something else going on out there?
Their only other big project for AEG was in the Virgin Islands. And that project was fraught with controversy, RFP irregularities, questions about how they received the bid and why other qualified bidders did not get the bid. Secrecy that surrounded the project. And finally, the project was canceled. And there's a string of excellent articles in the Virgin Islands Daily News, which incidentally is published by a former reporter from the Lubbock AJ. But there's a great string of articles in the Virgin Islands Daily News documenting the entire process. And you could take the headlines, and if the local paper were writing about this, you could overlay them on what's going on in Lubbock.
I didn't get all the way to the end of your article. You have this in the article, Sandstorm Scholar on Facebook, sandstormscholar.com, AEG problems in the Virgin Islands, but cancellations and someone else's experience are not the only things that raise questions about AEG. Its U.S. Virgin Islands waste-to-energy project was fraught with controversy and questions of due diligence from its outset. You just said that. Headline from the Virgin Islands Daily News reads, Alpine deal is bad on many levels. RFP and bid process is suspect. That sounds familiar. Sound familiar. What about this headline? Alpine deal shows why government secrecy is wrong. Headlines do not tell the whole story. We will cover the Virgin Islands debacle in a later article. However, suffice it to say now that Alpine Energy Group has no experience with a project the size of Lubbock's. In fact, Alpine Energy Group's development experience appears to be just as it was described, zero. And yet this is the company or subsidiary AEG West Texas LLC that LPNL staff recommended to the EUB that Lubbock contract with for its power from 2019 forward. And Gary Zhang says he believes that anyone who is trying to attack the AEG deal must have something to gain from it. Did the board... So recommendations were made by staff to the electric utility board here in Lubbock. Did the board get to sit in on any of these interviews with city staff and the contractors?
I don't believe they did. I believe that the staff handled that. I believe that's the appropriate way. And then the board receives a recommendation. They have not acted on any recommendation.
We're at the bottom of the hour break. Let's jump in right afterwards. This is Carl Tepper and Scott Mann, the Sandstorm Scholar, sitting in for Chad Hasty on the Chad Hasty Show. Chad Hasty Liner coming into the show. This is Carl Tepper and the Sandstorm Scholar, Scott Mann, sitting in for Chad Hasty. A little bit of business. Carl Tepper, commercial real estate extraordinaire, 470-2354. Do not call me now. Call me after the show. Hey, if you need to sell a building, I can't tell you how hot this market is. Leasing's really down. Buying buildings is really up. So if you're looking to buy your building, by the way, if you're in your building, you like your building, but you want to sell your building or need to raise capital, you can sell your building and lease it back. So give me a call, 470-2354. That's a real nice option for some people out there. Your building is in great demand right now, so you might want to consider selling it, raising some capital for what you're doing, and then we'll try to get it leased up again. Although leasing's down, if someone needs office space, this is a good time. The landlords are bending a bit, including me. So if you need some retail space, I've got stuff all over the place. I will tell you, I had a crazy day. I got calls from all over the country looking for real estate in Lubbock, Texas yesterday. So give me a call. Carl Tepper, McDougal Commercial Division. I am an agent. 806-470-2354. I'm sitting with Scott Mann, Sandstorm Scholar. www.sandstormscholar.com. Facebook, like Sandstorm Scholar. I think he's got 1,000 people. We're looking for a few thousand now. And Lubbock County Republican Party. Micah, I got your hashtag. I'm not doing that hashtag. It's too long. we'll do it tomorrow. Scott and I did a whole show over the break again. And so let's move on a little bit with this power issue. Apparently, we had one drive-by caller who wanted to know if AEG was the lowest bidder on this project.
I understand, Carl, that they were the lowest bidder by $20 million a year. What we need to keep in mind...
And let's let everybody know, we're not just building the power plant. This is the operations and all that going in. Was it a 20-year bid or a 10-year?
I believe it's 30.
30-year
bid. 30, so 30 years.
We're stuck with these guys for a while, folks. So everybody needs to pay attention. Okay, go
ahead. That's right. $20 million a year is the number I was given. That was not by a board member, but it was by someone who should know this and has looked at all of the bids. But we're looking for the best bid for the next 30 years. We're not necessarily looking for the person who can supply a low bid up front and then not perform. And that's the issue, is performance, track record. Who have these people done this with before? And with AEG, the fact is they've not done it with anyone before. The project in the Virgin Islands, which was their largest project, never finished. It was a 25-megawatt project. Ours is a 600-megawatt project.
Let's be real clear, everyone. I grew up on Long Island. We had the Shoreham Nuclear Power Plant that cost Long Island billions back in the 80s, by the way. Cost Long Island billions, and Long Island, it never generated a kilowatt of power. Cost them billions, and they're still paying for it today and will be for generations to come. Probably the highest electrical generation and cost in the country. On top of that, New York has the highest taxes of anywhere, so that's why people are moving to Texas. So everyone needs to pay real close attention to what's going on with these power plants and do the right thing. We have a board of interesting characters. You've got, in disclosure, you've got my boss, Mark McDougall. You've got a good friend, Clayton Isom. You've got, Suzanne Blake, who's become a friend of mine. She's a tenant of mine at Court Place. And, some other board member, Robert Musselman. I eat at his restaurant all the time at the ranch house.
This sounds like a Carl Tepper conspiracy.
It's really, yes. That's what Mark and I do. We sit in our office and we conspire all day. So all those conspiracy theories y'all have, it's all true. Okay. Just go with it. So, but we've also had some people, we had, Dwight McDonald was, not renewed or kicked off the board because he had some interest in the city. I don't know, Scott, it sounded a little silly to me. Maybe it's legit, but, and then you have him throwing other people under the bus, which is interesting for Lubbock. I don't like that, but he had throwing other people under the bus, trying to kick them off the board.
Well, there's a consistency issue here, Carl. And we probably need to address this through a charter rewrite. It's difficult to have business people who are the kind of people that you want. You want people who have successfully risked their own capital on this board. You want people whose eyes don't roll back in their heads when they see 7 or 8 or 9 zeros. That rules me out. Right. And those kinds of people often have conflicts. For example, it's very not well known that PICO, the company that Gail Kring leads, has a contract with LPNL. Does that constitute a conflict on Gail Kring's part?
I forgot what they call it. Is it indebtedness to the city? Something, there's some sort of official word they're using.
Well, indebtedness is used, but specifically the word any contract with the city. Dwight McDonald had a contract with the city as a magistrate. That's a stretch. But
and how are we
going to
get people, you know, in a county the size of, I think we're 380,000 now, and I think in the city 250,000. How do we avoid these conflicts? And by the way, I want people who have touched these. I'm on the zoning board of adjustments. I see a lot of commercial real estate agent friends of mine come up. Is that a conflict? Is there a friend of mine, or I might have done a deal with them in the past? I think because of it, it's not a conflict. I have a better understanding of what they're going through and can make and help the board sometimes make a decision. So, is that insider baseball or is that just living in a community?
Well, we need to redefine that. We need to rewrite the charter. Okay. We have a council that doesn't follow the charter as it pleases them in some areas. If taking free tickets is okay, we need to rewrite the charter. If there are some kinds of contracts that are allowed or certain sizes of contracts that are allowed with the city, we need to define that in the charter.
Do you really think it's the legalese of the charter? One thing I've learned about, the Lubbock County Republican Party, you can probably ding me on half a dozen things at any given time during an executive committee meeting. But if you're generally operating with a spirit of openness and leadership, which goes back and forth from the executive committee to me, and our voters, you don't have to dive in to every little sentence of the bylaws if people are getting along. It seems that because of, I don't know, Scott, if it's personality conflicts or old vendettas or, again, those personalities keep coming up. Is that the reason why we're finding so many conflicts of things that probably shouldn't have even come up in the first place?
I think what's happening on the LPNL board is people resent the secrecy, the lack of transparency that has existed in the past. Now, I must say, to staff's credit, and I have found LPNL staff very cooperative, they are working to change that perception. That's a slow thing. But with the board, you have some things going on that some want out in the open, others do not. And I think just from what we read in the news media, we have several people, Clayton Isom, Mark McDougall in particular, and certainly Mayor Glenn Robertson, to thank for trying to bring these things out into the open to let the citizens see what's going on. Government ought not operate in the dark, and that's what's happening right now at the electric utility.
Thanks for that. There's so much I want to delve into. I don't even know where to begin. We're also having the problem I'm having, Scott, is we're having the same sort of issues just on council in general. Is it not open enough? Is it a lack of leadership? Let's just put it out there. Okay. Without attacking anyone personally, or maybe we will. Is it one particular divisive nature on the council? And by the way, everyone, I'm not just talking about Victor Hernandez, okay? Is it the mayor sometimes? Is it Victor? Is it some of the council members are very quiet. My own Jim Gault, very quiet. Karen Gibson speaks up occasionally. And Latrell Joy speaks up but is a little, not a grandstander. I wouldn't call her a grandstander. So, where do you think the dynamics, why are the dynamics so poor in this council?
This is a very divided council, Carl. And when you sit in the meetings, you find a lot you can pick at. You also find a lot that you can commend. Last week, I think that Councilman Todd Klein's solution to the texting and driving issue through a public awareness campaign, that is a conservative idea. And Councilman Klein has the right idea. Let's demonize this behavior. And we've seen that to be very successful, particularly with driving habits. Certain behaviors are demonized. And those things are good.
All fairness, we happen to agree with Todd on that one, though. There have been weeks when we're like, gee whiz, Todd, what are you doing?
Well, that's true. That's
all right,
true.
This
I
is
thought we'd give him a break.
This is Carl Tepper and the Scott Manis Sandstorm Scholar sitting in for Chad Hasty on KFYM. Carl Tepper, Scott Mann, Sandstorm Scholar, sitting in for Chad Hasty on a beautiful, crisp Wednesday morning on the High Plains in the fall. Scott Mann is a Sandstorm Scholar, sandstormscholar.com, Sandstorm Scholar, like it on Facebook. You will not know local politics unless you're reading that. Let's face it, the local paper, we were talking about this earlier, it seems either you're popular with the cheerleader crowd or you have good news. Scott doesn't care about being popular, I'll tell you that. Over time.
I've never had a problem with that, Carl.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of a different crowd we're popular with. This is something that's been needed for a long time. Sandstorm Scholar, delving into the local issues of the High Plains. You do delve into some statewide issues on occasion when it just kind of meets what you want to talk about. And that's kind of the same with talk radio a little bit. And I know that you have really hit the marketplace fast and hard. You knew all the people to get with. KFYO, Robert Pratt, you knew the mayor, Mark McDougal, me. So you really were able to put all the pieces together. And you have a very good prose, I have to tell you. One of the best writers I've read. So you need to get on Sandstorm Scholar and pull up some of the old stuff. I always appreciate the stuff on Victor Hernandez. I always appreciate the stuff about Glenn Robertson. I like the stuff about football tickets. The subtle bribe quote is something that I've picked up. It's part of my vernacular now, which is credited to Mayor Glenn Robertson. I don't accept those subtle bribes. We just have a quick segment here. I wanted to one more time visit about, it's an interesting, it's one of those ultimate battles we're seeing, on the east side of town and City Council District 1, where you have Victor Hernandez, who's not just getting, you know, the usual Republican noise. He's getting a battle from his own district from, equally colorful guys, Frank Gutierrez and Cedro Gutierrez, who were successful in their recall effort. And we had mixed feelings about it, didn't we, Scott?
Certainly did. Yeah. I'm not big on recalls. And the problem with this recall election is to be successful, they have to win three times in a row. They have to win the recall. Victor has the right to run to replace himself if he is recalled. That would be in January. And then his term is up in May, so there's a third election, regardless, in May, and he can run for that. I'd just assume we waited until May. It would have been cheaper, but this is up to the people of his district, and they chose to do differently.
And look, it's interesting. Character-wise, Victor's usually very clever and very cunning, but he's lost his posture a little bit during this recall election. He's had some real sloppy press releases, really low-level responses to some of the things he's going through, which are uncharacteristic of him.
That's been interesting. Part of it has to be, it's hard work being a councilman. It absorbs a lot of your time and energy. And these people aren't paid to do this. They have to make a living also. And so there are a lot of reasons I can be sympathetic with Victor. If I lived in the district, well, selfishly, if I lived in the district, I would not vote to recall him because he makes such great material. But
no doubt.
Again, that's up to the district. We'll know here soon enough.
You know, we like to wring our hands and get on city council. Every town does this, by the way. No one pays attention to the county commissioners or the school board. For some reason, there's always a focus on the city council. And in Lubbock, Texas, they're volunteers. So everyone, we need to meter ourselves just a little bit. I think they make $25 a month, and they might get an iPad or something. But besides that, have a little sympathy for them. It's a volunteer job. And there are some people who I'm suspicious of, but I'm going to bring up Todd Klein again in a positive way. I think he really cares about Lubbock. That's the one thing about Todd I've always appreciated. I think he'd like to do other things, but I think deep down in his heart, he's a great retail politician. I think he actually cares about his neighbors.
I think that's right, Carl. I often disagree with Todd, and I've been pretty hard on him in the Sandstorm Scholar. But you can't disagree with his heart when you talk to the man. You know that he wants to do the best that he can, and it happens that often he comes from a perspective I just don't agree with.
It's really funny when you're in the game. I've had some great conversations with Victor Hernandez at times, even though, you know, in the public we're at each other's throats pretty often, and the mayor and everyone else. I want to thank Chad Hasty for letting us come in today. Scott, I might have you back on Friday, fill in some time, because we're having such a good time. This is Carl Tepper and Scott Mann. We filled in for Chad Hasty today. We appreciate everyone listening, and Rush Limbaugh is up next.